And we're back.
Now the Fugees have like they got back together and they're gonna do a tour. That is amazing.
Is it?
The fucking Food Gun album was great.
That album was great. Are you going to the concert?
It's in like the closest one is in Atlanta. Ain't no shit coming near here.
I'll tell you right now. I know I love Lauryn Hill. I love Praz. I love Wyclef. I like all of them. I like Praz probably more than a lot of people like Praz because I know he's like a nice joke that people like to get off. And I heard Lauryn Hill on that Nas album where she was explaining like why she'd be late and how, you know, all that other kind of stuff. And I don't believe it. Like, you're just late. Like, that's just it. And it's cool. I'm a fan of your music and your talent. But I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't paying to come to no concert. You might not show. Like, I'm just not that guy. Like, you know, I don't like concerts like that anyway. And I work writing about concerts. I'm not showing up for somebody that might not come. Mm. I'm sorry to damper.
There's like 12 dates.
Shouts out to the Fugees.
I was going to say, there's like 12 dates, though.
And
she could make at least 8 of them.
Like, but imagine if you're that one date where they're like, Lauryn is on the way. You know what's going to make it even worse? It's cool when it's just a Lauryn Hill show and she's not there. But it feels a little disrespectful when it's like, if Praz and Wyclef are there and Lauryn ain't yet.
I know, that would
like, what if Praz and Wyclef got to walk out on stage and do a little, like Wyclef's like, well, I'm going to just go ahead and go through my solo stuff. And that's cool. Wyclef got the hit. And then
I hate all that shit. But
what if you hate all the Wyclef stuff?
Man, that fucking Staying Alive
shit. Gone Till November?
Like, Gone Till November mid. Nigga, that shit was okay. I didn't care. I am not a Wyclef.
What's the song you had with Mary J. Blige?
Someone please call 911.
We gave a lot of leeway to Wyclef. I'm not gonna lie. We gave a lot of leeway to Wyclef. I own every Wyclef album on CD.
I know you do.
And I'm not gonna lie, I was jamming dude the whole time.
Like, I remember I would ride to school with you, and this nigga played the carnival. Like, you played albums. You played on the way to school. I remember Wyclef the Carnival.
Correct.
Exhibit 40 Days and 40 Nights.
The best album, top 10 album. Exhibit 40 Days
and 40 Nights. Exhibit 40 Days and 40 Nights. It's a great album.
We can disparage Wyclef all day. Exhibit 40 Days and 40 Nights. Exhibit's not even in my top 10 of rappers. That album, though, is like one of my like top five.
I can understand.
You can put 40 Days and 40 Nights on right now, and I'm like, God, if you don't like this album, you don't like hip hop. I get like a real old man real quick. I'm like, this ain't you. Like, that's it. I get real funk flex. Like, I get real, you know, gatekeeperish.
And you kept playing, like, ancillary, like, Wu-Tang shit. Like, it wasn't like no, it was either RZA or no, it wasn't no Ghostface, nigga.
First,
it was like,
off, first off, I really like the RZA. I was about to make fun of dude's accent. Have you watched Wu-Tang?
You watched it? You watched it?
Wu-Tang is a great show. Why is dude talking like that?
You know, I gotta make it out.
I think as brothers, we should get together and then we could form the Wu-Tang sword.
Yo, I'm gonna be honest with you, dude. I'm gonna be honest with you. First season, great. These four episodes, I just binged them this weekend. These four episodes, this season, I'm like, all right, you finna go Mr. Robot way. Because
they got to get, this season got to have filler. Because what happened was that first season, even as a Wu-Tang super fan, finding out that Ghostface.
Oh, you're talking super fan. You're a real Wu-Tang fan. That's what I call it. Niggas be lying. They just be
okay.
Fucking.
Finding out that Raekwon tried to kill Ghostface is hilariously surprising. Because they're like, dog, I know that y'all are brothers. And they're like, nah. He tried to kill me. So leading up to this, even that last episode, spoiler alert for those who don't watch the Wu-Tang, but honestly, if I'm spoiling any of the Wu-Tang history for you, you shouldn't be listening to this show.
Fuck out of here.
Finding out you got to convince them to rap together is hilarious. Because it's like, I just want to see the point where they start rapping together and they're like, you know what? We should do this forever. Like, just you and me. Like, that's really what it is. Because after a while, they're like, we should get together and just make classic albums. Whenever the RZA is busy, it should just be you and me. Like, that's it. So, that's interesting. This season is moving slow. And I think it moves super slow because it's run by a lot of Bobby Digital dialogue. Like, it's a lot of RZA, you're my brothers, and I want to see you prosper. Like the Wu-Tang Shaolin sword. But mom, I was like, dog, if y'all don't, I wish, sometimes when I listen to a podcast, I listen to it on like double speed. I wish Hulu had that. Like, I'm like, dog, can we fast forward this? Because RZA is talking extremely slow. And how come nobody says anything? Nobody goes, hey, dog, speed it up. Come on. I know you don't talk like this in real life. If RZA talks like that in real life, I'm annoyed by him.
He probably does. He probably did. Every time I see, what's his name? Power? What's that one dude? That's the yeah. He remind me of Ed. He just do.
A little bit.
Is he cool?
He reminds me of Ed. And it's not only that. Oh, so, shoot. Go ahead and go full circle back. I listen to a lot of the Wu-Tang offshoots. I listen to Bobby Digital and I listen to the Gravediggers. I listen to the Gravediggers and I just feel like those were RZA's cousins. Like, whoever it was, like, I don't know what their story is or whatever. I had two Gravediggers albums. They weren't good. Like,
you would listen to that shit. I'm
they
like,
weren't as good as how down I listened
to it. It was three songs max. And I'm like, oh, when I get into the car with this nigga, garbage.
And I listened to eight of them. Back to back.
Nigga, we are down the street from school. This nigga wanna play trash. The only thing that I liked was 40. You got me on Exhibit. 40 Days and 40 Nights. I went and bought that album when I became a man.
Incredible. I
went and bought that album.
But here's what I do know. Now you know what it feels like to be a girl around a dude listening to Wu-Tang. Because you're like, it's like, can you put on something with a beat? Yeah. Like, I know, so I'd be like, nah, you gotta hear that. Like, that's a train whistle in the background. And then that's a samurai sword. And see, what they do is they cut it over old kung fu movies. Like, that's what it is. And it's like, if you gotta explain music to people, it might not be their thing. Like, shots out to Wu-Tang. Shots out to people that buy Wu-Tang paraphernalia and never heard a song. I support y'all too. Like, it's just a cool aesthetic.
It does look good. I support you. I still make fun. I'll talk shit about anything. Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is, because one of the things is, like, you're right, just listening to music. And it does feel like when you're listening to, knowing what it's like to be a girl listening to Wu-Tang in some dude's car, I believe you me. Sometimes you need to listen to one of them playlists that OG Von Zilla puts out. You're gonna know what people are really listening to. Because like I said, you know, this is another, in my humble opinion, this is a show that we take young Black people and we show them, because I'm Black and ugly as ever. I stay using down to my socks. Another episode I said, of In My Humble Opinion, I'm your boy, Chips Ahoy, Avery Like a Very Nice Guy. Also known as, I don't know what I'm known as. I got a lot of names. Also, I'm with my brother, Jess Devon, ladies and gentlemen. Jess Devon. How you doing, Jess Devon?
I'm good.
That's great. Yeah, That's great.
Healthy, well, happy. Things are going well.
That's good. And you've survived COVID.
Yeah. It's interesting learning how to smell and taste again. So that's all.
I'm happy.
Like, it's cool. It's the great thing about, not the great thing, taste comes in gradually. So like, you'll like every day it's like, oh, I can now taste this. Like, you'll try something. You're like, oh, look at that. Mm-hmm. I can taste it. Smell has not come in strong, which is kind of like a superpower right now, because some people stink. And I've been in some situations where I've looked around and I've been like, I'm not gonna lie, this is just a horrible story, but I had to go pick up lunch for some people, and it was at a Panda Express on work, And I was like, yo, can I use your restroom real quick? And I walked in the restroom and it was disgusting. I'm not even going to describe it. It was bad. But the thing that struck me is I don't smell nothing. I just walked up, flushed the toilet. I was like, all right, cool. This is fine. And I was like, yo, this is like a superpower. So for anybody that's listening to this and eating their lunch, sorry. Like, my apologies. Like,
oh, man. I'm glad you're doing better. I'm glad that you're not able to smell and be in those social situations.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you. I really am. I'm happy for you.
I can't smell. Axe body spray is fantastic, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. And you're the job that you do, there are people that
you can't spray Axe body spray like it's a shower. I'm like, Doug, that's not a shower. Like,
you remember that, though? Never mind. We can go all day about it.
I was about to say that. Yeah.
Just stupid shit that you would do when you were young, you know, us being young and being in Sugarland and whatnot. But, you know, our guest today, not from Sugarland, dude actually comes out of Acres Home, right? Okay, real nice guy. Actually, real talk, like, I met him on Clubhouse. You meet, like, a lot of people, like, just doing random stuff. And then, like, when we went to Loud, it was the Skyra Bliss. When she dropped her song Hood Rat Shit, and we were at the House of Blues.
Yes.
We were there. We met up with Shelby, and then we met up with, I always forget his name, but we kept seeing him. Him and old buddy with Def Jam.
Oh, snap. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I call him Skinny Kravitz, but you know what I'm saying? We hung out, we hung out all week, you know what I'm saying? And then I go, and they're like, yo, like, everybody was at this table, right? And they're like, B-Val's up. I was like, yo, B-Val, like, I was like, we get to see each other in person. I was like, yo, it's like, you got to get him on the show. I go, I will. Like, we'll get each other. Like, yeah, that was like 900 months ago. But
it was pre-COVID.
It wasn't pre-COVID.
It was mid-COVID. Yeah. Every COVID. Month feels like a year in COVID.
And I was like, we were talking about guests, and I was sitting there like, I was like, yo, I got to get B-Val. I was like, yo, let me hit him up. And when he was like, yeah, let's do it, I was like, man, I hope he ain't like, nigga, you said that was going to be like 9 billion months ago. But anyway, singer, songwriter, rapper, producer, just all around good person. B-Val, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, you guys? I can hear the like imaginary like hand claps. That's dope. Appreciate y'all for having me for sure. Right,
we should probably pay for those. Like, we should.
That
we
would
should
be
pay,
dope.
We should pay and get some real hand claps or something.
We like will. That. We'll get some hand claps.
Yeah. We gotta work on that. You know what's wild? It's gonna happen. You know what? It's probably free. We just haven't invested.
Probably.
We gotta invest the time.
Mm-hmm. Bro, everybody is like just torrenting or ripping stuff off of YouTube. You probably could just, you know what I'm saying, hit one of those numbers and y'all straight.
Exactly. Yeah, sure. So, just to get things started, because we want to talk about your craft, we want to talk about what got you into it, but it's a new lane. You're younger. You're much younger than I am. You're much younger than my brother. He likes
to. I might be.
But, you are self-described. You're a rapper, singer, songwriter. Which one do you lean to more?
Man, that's a good question. It depends on what room I'm in, because I write for so many people, as well as just on my own stuff. So it depends on what room I'm in, what I'm working on. I probably say I enjoy rapping a tinge more than singing, but I like singing too. Okay. I like doing it all.
Okay.
But rapping, I just get to, like, you know what I'm saying, get them bars off and, you know what I'm saying, let boys know, like, what time it is. So I kind of enjoy that.
It gives you a nice balance. So what got you started? Like, I mean, were you talented as a kid? Were your parents like, yo, tell this boy to stop singing all the time, tell him to stop rapping? Or is it something you discovered, like, later on in life?
You know, actually, like, when I was a kid, I was always around music. So my pops, he plays guitar. My mom sings. And I got like a million cousins, and like they play different instruments and all that stuff. And I got some people that sing and all that. And so I was like always around it, but I was more shy. I was super reserved. I was mild mannered. Like I was kind of in the background all the time. I didn't really like being in front of people. And the first thing I heard was Outkast. And I was like, yo, this is crazy. Like, I ain't never heard nothing like this before. It was just, like, mind-blowing to me. And then I heard Kanye West, and I was like, yo, this is crazy. Like, and then I heard Wayne and Jay and eventually J. Cole and Drake. And I was like, yo, this is so dope. And but what was getting was I felt like there wasn't enough messages that was like really resonating with somebody like me. And also I felt like people wasn't like doing some of the beats that they were on justice. So I started off, man, writing to like beats that I thought were dope, but like the bars weren't hard or something. And I probably didn't do very much better at that time. but in my mind, I was like going crazy. And that's what got me going. I was like, let me put a good message out there as well as, you know what I'm saying, just make something that people like me can relate to and enjoy, especially because I'm coming from Acres Homes, but I wasn't like in the streets like a lot of the people around me were. So, now, yeah, what, like I think.
What messages, like what were the messages that you were kind of looking for that you kind of felt like were lacking out there?
You know, so... For me, when I was coming up, right, this is when music was more region-based before, like the internet completely took over everything. It was more, it was still more so like word of mouth, like what's going on in the street, like all that good stuff. So I was hearing, like what I was hearing mostly was things coming from like Slim Thug and... who else was I hearing coming up? I was hearing Zero. I was hearing a lot of stuff like that. So it was more so like stuff that was like regarding the streets. And although like all that was around, I never was a part of it. So I understood what was going on, but it just didn't resonate with me the way, like I said, Outkast resonated with me and Kanye West. And so, man, I was just like, man, we need more balance, like, in this genre. This genre, like, is so dope, but it's just not enough balance. It's not enough kids that are, like, making something that if I'm not in the street, I can listen to and completely relate to, and, you know what I'm saying, I could bump that, and it's not, like, corny or something. So
yeah,
I felt that it was just a piece missing. I was like, I could probably fill in that piece right there, you know?
Now, how old were you when you were first, like, stumbling upon the idea of getting into creating music?
Wow, I was 13. That was the first time I ever recorded anything.
Oh, okay.
What'd you record? So, were you rapping or were you singing or what?
I was rapping. So one of my homies, man, he had, shout out to Thriver, you know what I'm saying? He had a small studio set up in his bedroom. And so he was rapping. He was like, hey, yo, come up here. I got this thing. I'm rapping and stuff. I'm recording it. So I go up there. I'm like, yo, this is crazy, man. You got it. To me, it was a $10,000 studio in his bedroom. And it was probably like $100 setup or something. But it was just like, in my mind, bro, I was like, in LA, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've made it, you know what I'm saying? So we go in there and we record over, the first one was Say Yeah by Wiz Khalifa. This is like, I think 08 or something. It's like, I don't even know why we chose, but whatever. Like, it was Say Yeah, bro. And then the next one was, it was a T.I. record. It was on Paper Trail when he was trying to, like, get off them cases.
Oh, yeah.
And,
Yeah,
so we did a Paper Trail record. And ever since then, it was, like, the biggest thrill of my life. I can't even lie. Like, I was, like, uber excited. I've never been that excited for anything. And so deep down, I knew I always wanted to do it. I just never knew what capacity it would be for me. So as I, you know, came up, I was, you know, in school and I was doing pretty well in school, went to college, all that good stuff. But then I realized like the only thing I've really ever been attached to was the music. So I dropped out. And shout out to all the college dropouts, you know what I'm saying?
So you're in school. At what point in college are you like, all right, I don't want to do this no more?
You know what? Honest to God, this is exactly what happened. So I was in engineering, right? Because that's just how my mind works. I'm like, I love math and numbers and all that. So I was an engineering major. I was in a calculus class. And it was an 8 a.m. class. It was the worst decision of my life pick an 8 a.m. calculus class. And I'm in the class, bro. And like the teacher's working out like something on the board. And I'm half asleep, but I'm like, yeah, she's not doing that right. And so she finished the whole thing. And I was like, yeah, that's not right. Like I just kind of blurted it out. And I was like, you know what? It's too early for like people to be sitting here getting paid to like give me wrong information. Like I need to be getting paid and this ain't it. So I left that class, bro, and I never went back. Like I just walked out and I was like, yeah, we're not doing this.
Shouts out to 8 a.m. classes changing people's lives. For any students listening to this, if you are about to enter in college, it sounds great. Like it looks fantastic on paper. You're like, yo, I put these classes at 8. I'm going to be done with school by noon. And you're like, y'all get it done. And then you don't realize, dog, the world don't get up. I promise you, the job you have, they don't want you there by 8. And if you do have to be there by 8, I'm sorry. That's a horrible job. The world ain't up at 8. Like, it's just not. And the fact that they want you there in class at 8 is horrible. I did 1 year of 8 a.m. classes, one semester. And then I was like, all right, it's 11 Never o'clock again. Classes for me. And that was the best semester. My grades went up. Everything. I was like, this is how people should live. Like, waking up on your own without an alarm clock, that's peace of mind. That's how like when people be like
that's serenity.
Flexing like, yo, I got a foreign or yo, I got like whatever. I would be like, yo, I don't own an alarm clock. Like, if I say that, I'm rich. I'm going to tell you right now, like, I wake up when I wake up, and then I go live my life. So, you walk out.
Man.
You walk out.
Walk out.
You're like, yo, I'm done with school, and that's it. We have a common thread. We always ask, like, yo, what'd your parents say?
Mm-hmm. So, this is literally what my mom said was, well, somebody got to make the music, so it might as well be you.
Oh,
I was like,
ah,
oh, man, wow. Thanks, man. And my dad was like, yeah, yeah. She was mad supportive of it. And my pops was like, oh. <all right."
laughs> That's what we're doing? That's what we're doing now?
My pops was like, okay. And then he was like, all right, you what your mom say about that? You know what I'm saying? Like, he was not going for it too. He wasn't getting it at first. He was like, I don't know about all that. It took him a while to get it low key.
Yeah.
But after a while, you know what I'm saying? He kind of came around. He started seeing like some money coming in and some recognition happening.
What was the point where he came around? Like when he came around, what was that point at?
I was asked to go to the BET experience when they were still doing that. I don't know if they do that anymore.
Oh, okay.
But I was asked to go to the BET experience and open up for a Black Youngster. And it was like mass celebrities at this party thing. And he was like, oh, this is not just a little hobby thing. This is like a thing.
No, the man's opened up for Black Youngster, Don Toliver. Who else did you open up for? You opened up for like every Ken the Man. You opened up for everybody. Like looking at your Instagram and just knowing your lineage, I'll be like, I know this nigga. And you'll drop a video, and I'll be like, that's D-Val. Like he's rocking the stage, and that's more people than up. That's not 500 people. It's not a thousand.
No, it's a
not 5,000. It's so many people.
Now we're talking about, yeah, I mean, that brings your dad around. I mean, for, let's talk about you getting these opportunities. Like, what was the first big show? Like, the first show you felt was like, oh, this is a big deal.
No, I don't care how honestly,
it could be 10 people, it could be 1,000. Like, whichever one you felt like, yo, this is, I'm it's happening.
Yeah, so it's crazy because I did my first show as like a solo artist. I did my first show as a solo artist somewhere. It was 2018, summer 2018. And it wasn't really a show. It was more like a competition thing. And it was actually to see who goes to this, BET Experience show. So my first show out the gate, like as a solo artist, because when I was way younger, I was in a band. So hip hop wasn't even my first genre really. And man, it was crazy because that was like my first thing. And I was like, oh snap, like, this is kind of crazy. Like, I wasn't expecting BET this fast, you know what I mean? So did that, and that felt big. But I think the biggest one was I did a show. It was right before like COVID like stopped everything. So this was February 2020. And it was the first, maybe not the first time, but it was a time where I just released a project in time, and it came out literally the night before the show. So it came out on the 29th because it was a leap year. Came out on the 29th. This is the night of the 29th. So this is like, came out midnight on the 29th of February 2020. This is 10 p.m. February 2020, and like people knew the words to the songs that was on it, and they were singing them, like, and I was like, yo, this is wow. Like, that was probably the biggest moment for me, because I was like, oh nah, this is like really, like, this is impacting people for real, like on a different level.
That's fantastic. And that was the last show right before COVID.
That was the last one right before COVID, bro. After that, literally everything just stopped. And it was like, oh, snap. Okay.
Now, what is that like, too, as you're building yourself up as an artist and you get, like, this high of having a big show and then, you know, an unprecedented, especially for the entertainment industry. Like, there were veterans that were like, dog, what do we do? Like, everything just shuts down. What were your feelings as it was happening? Like, how did you start to find out things were happening? And then what did you start to do to regroup?
Yeah, so actually the crazy part about that whole thing was I just went full time making music at that point. So I was actually kind of like terrified because I was like, oh snap, I picked the wrong time to do this. I just kind of walked out the job, so it was like, man, maybe I should call him back and be like, yo, my bad, you know, I was really going through a lot. So I didn't know what to do at first. So I've always like ran like my own studio, so I record everything myself. I mix and master, engineer all my own stuff. And I was like, well, you know, I'll just start doing it for other people more, because I was kind of doing it already, but I wasn't doing it in a large capacity. So it allowed me to like start connecting with other artists on a deeper level and just helping them with their craft and helping them like bring their vision to life. And that kind of, you know, gave me an extra battery in my bag too. And, you know, helped me a lot. It kept, you know, kept the income coming, which is always a good thing. So
always a positive.
Yeah. So and that was that, man. Like I just did that, and I just recorded a lot of music during that time. But yeah, it was just, I think the other thing that it did for me was it kind of made me go back to when I like first started recording again. So it brought me back to like 14-year-old me just trying to explore my creativity and seeing what I was actually capable of, seeing like areas I was weak when it came to music, but just in life too, and just strengthening like areas I was weak, as well as kind of capitalizing on my strong areas. And so ironically enough, 2020 progressed my career a ton, for sure, just as where as far as like connections that I was able to make, and you know, just so many different things. I did my first Live Nation show in 2020, like at the beginning of the year, but
yeah.
And so it was like 2020, like it was a bittersweet year for sure, for sure. But I was just grateful for the experiences, like all the different experiences that I've had throughout this journey has really kind of helped me a lot, to be honest.
No, that's good. That's good. Now, we also talk, you know what? We talked to Godbody Bingo.
Your boy.
Two episodes.
Yeah.
Your boy.
Talking about. So I always my brother. Find it interesting talking to people from the North Side, especially the crop of rappers from the North. I feel like the North Side, Houston misunderstands the North Side the way America.
The North Side.
Look, North Side. Right now, I never say it right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The North Side.
A nigga from Inwood, too. Devon is from Inwood.
Okay, you're right. But people misunderstand that side of town the way that America misunderstands Houston as a city. Because it's like, it's very diverse. And people will say, yo, I really love, like, I was like, yo, I love artists that come out of here, but they're like, I just love these ones. That's the only thing y'all are like. That's it. And it's like, you start to meet other artists and they're like, nah, man, we love them too, but it's a variety of us out here. What is that like coming up and trying to, I don't want to say reshape, but shine light on all the different aspects of music that come from that side of town?
Yeah, you know what's funny is that we never, so me and the guys that I work with, namely like Godbody Bingo and Sadiq and other guys as well, is that we never quite looked at it like let's see like how to shed light on the North Side. Like we always looked at it like, how can we make this thing worldwide and a global thing? You know what I'm saying? And I think like coming from the North, like always gave us a different perspective because a lot of times like on the North Side, like you just able to step back a little more versus like when you're downtown, you know, on some of the other sides of town, like you're always in the middle of the action. And for us, it's like we can choose to be in the middle of the action or we can like choose to kind of come back and look at it from a macro level. And so I just always looked at things like or tried to look at things from as much of a macro level as I could. And so it was just more so like, man, this is some great music. It's a great movement that we got. How do we show the world what this is about? You know, what coming up over here looks like. How do we express ourselves as far as our talent goes, our different life journeys and stories, you know, as much as we could. And so I guess we never thought of it like, you know, just from like a show like, you know, that the North Side like got something just like the South Side. We just looked at it like, man, we can really show the world like we really do something, you know. And that's really was the mindset for sure.
Well, I mean, I will say it's definitely what y'all are doing. When you hear like Godbody Bingo, when you hear yourself, when you're hearing artists that are coming from there, it's interesting. I mean, even looking at Godbody's last one, and you're an introspective rapper where you're naming parts of town that we have already heard about, but we always associate it with something else. All right. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's just one of those things where you're looking at the, like, you know, y'all putting out these introspective projects, like it works. It definitely works. How would you describe your side of town?
I definitely would describe it as, North Side get the money. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like I said, like we try to look at things from a macro level. And so on this side is in my, by my perspective, it's like a lot of balance. So we can get right to the city or like I said, being Eggers Homes, it's like stables and stuff. So like we could jump on a horse if we wanted to too. Like yeah. I'll go to like some block parties and this, you would think like you in the middle of like a country town in Texas, you know what I'm saying? Versus, you know, I could go up the street and it's like the craziest technology, like rooms and all type of stuff. So I think the North Side got like a lot of balance to it. And I think like it's just a lot of like go-getters and guys that are looking toward progression for sure. So that's probably what I would say mostly about the North. Also, it get crazy, you know. It get crazy for sure.
Yeah.
Boys be different out here too, you know what I'm saying? Like that's where you know, that's where like realizing where you at and how to balance all that comes into play, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's all love.
And that's a different thing too. Like I like what you talk about, like the horses and stuff. People don't understand that about
here. Yeah.
Until yeah. you get down here and you're like, I remember when they showed that Netflix special about the Cowboys in Philly. And people were like, oh my God, there's Cowboys. And I was like, dog, this is stable, like right down the street from my grandfather's house. And my grandfather lived in a regular neighborhood. Like his house is in it's just a neighborhood, but you know, the horse stables is right there. It just is what it is.
Facts.
Ride horses.
Man, like you'll see, like, you know, usually people have cowboy boots on horses, but you'll see like homie like rocking the J's.
Yeah.
On the horse, like just
Air Force
going
One.
Down. Yeah, for sure. Black Air Force Ones, like, you know what I'm saying? Like going down the street, like it's just like that. You know what I mean? But, and then at the same time, you'll see a slab. And then at the same time, you'll see like Bentayga. So it's just, you get all type of flavors for sure.
Yeah. I feel like, and maybe that's what that adds to like that variety in you guys' music out there. It's like, it's country, it's, you know, it's Zydeco, it's whatever, you know, like even watching like the Trail Rides where it's like, you see all these different types of music to pop out there where I'm like, depending on what time of day you come out here, it's like a whole different kind of concert.
Nah, that's literally it. It depends on what time you walk outside and it'll be, you know, cause you might get, you'll get the Zydeco during the day, you get the country during the day, and then, like, you know, nighttime, you're going to get the rap, you're going to get the turn up. And then, like, late night, you're going to get the R&B. So it's just, you know, a cool little vibe. I try to, like, I haven't really touched the Zydeco in country, but I try to, like, squeeze in them nighttime vibes. And, you know what I'm saying? Them hip-hop and R&B vibes.
You're not working on any Zydeco or country over this break?
You know what? I actually should. Me and Trilly Polk been talking. We've been talking for a while. We've been cool for a while. So I might need to get with him about doing some country hip hop or some Zydeco hip hop something.
Man. Country rap tunes, there, boy.
I was about to say, and we're big fans of like Trilly Polk, especially. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of anybody that's just like, when you overcome the talk, like,
right.
I think when you see Trilly Polk the first time, when I would first see him, people was like, dog, what are you doing? And then like a year later, people was like, oh, that's hot.
I said,
he didn't change. He changed y'all's perception. Like, he was cool from the jump. Like, there's just no getting around it. Like, that's just it. So, I love to see what you and Trilly Polk working on, man.
Yeah, we might have to do, like, we've been talking about getting in the studio for the longest, so we need to make it happen soon. But, you know, that's the crazy thing. I was talking to one of my homies the other day, and I was just saying, like, you know, a lot of times it's not even that like anybody's changed ever. It's just your ears hadn't molded to that sound yet.
Yeah.
And so it just takes, you know, time to listen to it over and over. And I mentioned Young Thug. Like, I was like, you know, with Thug, it's like you had no idea what he said. People was like, bro, is this a baby? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like babbling on the track.
Yeah.
But after a while, like, you can understand everything word for word, even if you're not trying to. It's just your ears got used to it.
And then
you
look at a Young Thug, too, and it's like you watch the change in the perception of him. Like, in the beginning, it was a lot of jokes. It was a lot of jokes. There were definitely more jokes than Acclaim on Young Thug, and he just kept on working. And now, Young Thug can drop anything at any point, and it don't matter what it is. Dude had a song
crazy.
Like, it don't matter what he do. People be like, oh, that's Young Thug. I know it's going to be hot. And they just go with it. And I don't think he changed. Like,
at all.
Yeah.
If anything, he became more himself.
Like, yes.
Young Thug, like, dove all the way into, like, everything that he already was. He just dove all the way in.
Now, how does that, we're applying that to you. Like,
yeah.
What point of the process do you feel like, how do you work on becoming more of yourself in terms of your art and your craft?
Man, I always think about that literally. Because I'm so early in, I feel like, you know, I was always thinking, like, however I came in, I was going to finish, like, exactly the same way stylistically or something. It's like, nah, like, you're going to evolve. And I feel like I'm just starting to, like, hit a certain stride with creativity, whereas where creativity goes. But I think just being able to hone in and trust in my gut helps that a lot. You know what I mean? You know, just creating things that feel good to me, even if I'm not all the way sure how people might take it. And, you know, letting the people hear it. And if they don't like it, so be it. Like, you know what I'm saying? If they do like it, great. But just like honing in on that and doubling down on it too. I just released a song and called Magic, and I kind of, it was like a dance hall type vibe, and it was something different for me. And I was like, at first I was like, I don't know, I don't want to, like, you know what I'm saying, like, come off a certain way or something. Like, people be like, is this thing like got an accent, what is he doing? Like, but I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna just do it, and if they rock with it, they rock with it. If they don't, they don't. But it feels right, like it feels good. And that's kind of like how I made, like, every song that I've made. It was just, does it feel good? Does it feel right? Even this song early on, I had, it was a single called Smurfs.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a circle of guys, like I said, that I play things for, and I get their opinion on it because, like, I trust their ears. And so Smurfs, I made the song Smurfs, and I was going to put it out, and I was going to put it out as a single. And I played it for them, and they was like, I don't know about that one, like, you know? And I was trying to explain it. I'm like, bro, this is what it means, and this is the breakdown of this song, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. This will be going on, and this is why I said this. And they like, oh, okay, I understand that. That's tight. Okay. I don't know if I like the song, though. and so I was like, okay, I feel you. But then I put it out with the project, and they heard it in that context, and it was like, you know what? I'm glad you still decided to, you know, you know, you know what I'm saying? So for me, it's just trusting your gut, you know, even if you look crazy. And so sometimes I'll be feeling like, man, I don't know if I'm, like, crazy enough. I'll be looking for, literally, I'll be looking for, like, people to be like, I don't like that, or I don't know if I like that. You know, that lets me know that I'm doing something. I'm making people feel something.
Yeah.
You know, if everybody be like, oh, that song, okay, it's cool, then I'm like, okay, this ain't it.
Yeah. You got a strong feeling. When you got a strong feeling, you're getting a response. So that's just what it is. And I mean, that's good. When did you decide, like, though, when did you start singing?
So what's funny is I've always been able to sing. But when I started writing my own music, I just never sang. It's weird, right? So backstory, I was maybe around 12. And I was in church, and they like voluntold me to sing. And
as
y'all ever get? I was gonna say, did y'all grow up?
Grew up in church.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So like,
yeah,
you know how
everybody got
being voluntold. Yeah, you, it's like, hey, you gonna do that? And it's like, oh, okay.
All right, I'm an usher now.
And you just take it on up. Right. And so I was, like I said, I was always reserved as a kid. I was laid back. I really didn't want to be in the forefront. And I was super shy to be in front of people. And so I don't even know how they knew I could sing, to be honest with you, at all. But it was just, hey, we doing this. You finna be singing. I'm like, what? And so I was with this youth group band. It was like four of us. And a funny thing, we like were traveling and doing different things at different places, just making, like singing different songs and singing some original songs. So it was a fusion of, it was like a gospel rock, hip hop type fusion thing we had going on. And so, but we never recorded yet. And so that was my first time singing. But once I start recording music, it was rapping, like I said earlier, because I just felt like there was a void missing. There was a void there, rather, that I felt like I could fill. And so later, after a while, I was just like, you know what? Let me start like doing a little singing in here and there. You know what I mean? One of the first songs that I did it with was Wintertime. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really popular song for me, or at least in my circle. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to kind of, you know, lean in on this. And long story short, I wanted to make a super rap album at the top of 2020. I wanted to make, think like Griselda. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to do that.
Yeah.
No, I did. Like, I was trying to do like a Griselda sound of album, because I was like, bro, people not rapping no more. Ain't nobody got no bars. Like, I'm finna show niggas like how to rap again and all this stuff. And I started thinking, I was like, oh, I don't want to alienate my female fan base. I don't really even have a strong female fan base yet. Let me, you know what I'm saying, get them in real quick, and then I'm gonna go to rapping. And so I did the R&B, and like, it's just been a lot of R&B since. But don't get it twisted, I still put boys in body bags.
I get that, because you be rapping. It's like, it's like Tory Lanez. It's like, you're like, oh, I met you as far as R&B, and I was like, okay, this is cool. And then I go, oh no, he can rap. And it's not like some people that can like kind of rap, and you go, you can rhyme. I was like, oh shit, B-Val gonna go, all right, metaphor, punchline, 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 metaphor, punchline, punchline, punchline. I was like, this, I have to rewind this shit. And then I go, I know this nigga. I fucking know this nigga, dog. That's crazy. Yo, but like, for real though, you've had a lot of like, I can call it a commercial success, but still aren't like super known to the masses. How did you get from being in a $100 studio to opening up for acts like Bun B? How do you go from point A to point B, being on BET red carpets? Like, you've been everywhere. How did you get there?
You know, honestly, I've been very fortunate. I tell people all the time, like, it's like this up to this point has really just been talent carrying me. And so now we're about to kick in the marketing and the other things to the next level. But it's really just strictly been off of like the grace of God and like, you know, the gifts that he's blessed me with that have just carried me to these different points, man. Because I when I look at some of my contemporaries and they're like, man, what was it? How did you do that? I'm like, bruh.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? But I know one thing, like I said, I just trust my gut when it comes to creating stuff, and I commit to excellence. And I think that the people that have asked me to be in certain positions or asked me to do certain things or, you know, allow me to be in certain lights, they've respected the commitment that I have to excellence. It's like, I really, really, truly care about the craft. You know what I'm saying? I really, truly care about, you know, just sending positive messages out, positive energy out. And I really, truly care about how it's delivered. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy because I know it could probably be demanding on a lot of the people that I work with too. Because I mean, I'm hard on myself. So I know sometimes I'll be hard on them. So sometimes I'll be in my mind, like trying to figure out how to dial it back some to deliver it the right way. So I'm not, you know what I'm saying, sounding crazy to somebody or like, you know, I try to always talk respectfully to people, but I tell people all the time, I know I'm demanding, but it's like, I want it to be excellent if I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying? And I borderline fight perfectionism because I would just want it to be so right and so good. And so, you know, so yeah.
Now you've got this, you got a commitment to excellence, perfectionism, and you've also been real introspective over this whole break period during COVID. So what are the next steps? Like, what is it that you're working on? And what do you feel like, are you ready to put something out? Are you like, what's in the future here?
Yeah, man. So we got the next project coming out actually sooner than you think. I'm not going to say a release date yet. But we got a lot of music coming. It's a continuation of what I did before COVID hit, but it's just times 10. So I'm really excited about that, as well as just continued growth, you know, connecting with more people and touching more stages, touching bigger stages, and just making like meaningful developments with, you know, my audience and new audiences that are going to eventually like be exposed to me and I'll be exposed to them. And, you know, so it's a lot of that, man. It's a lot of growth. It's a lot of like new music that I'm really excited about. I just dropped a single not too long ago called Magic. Yeah. And we're prepping for this video. And so I'm super excited about that, man. I'm excited about how Magic is doing and the places that it's getting play in. So I got to thank everybody that's been, you know, spending that and enjoying it, you know, so, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now for, you know, fans new and just about to discover you and things like that, where can they find everything about you and tap in with the music?
For sure. So you can find the music everywhere. Just look up B-Val. It's on Apple, Spotify, you name it, it's there. You can find me on Instagram, B-Val Official, Twitter, B-Val Official, YouTube, B-Val Official. I'm there. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Anything that you're trying to figure out, it might not be there, but, you know. You know, people be nosy, bro. You gotta, you know what I'm saying? Like, keep it at a one level sometime, you know what I mean?
A respectful level.
Bro, I be getting like crazy DMs sometimes and I'm like,
what's the craziest DM? How about you laugh?
man, I don't even know. It was probably, I'm trying to think, the craziest DM probably had to be one. It was someone like I don't think I ever met before, and they was on some like, yo, I listen to your music, it's so dope, you know what, I want to come to Houston, we should meet up and then I'll bring you to Vegas with me and we'll just chill, like on some like relationship. And I was like, what are you talking about? And like, I don't know if she was trolling me. She might have been trolling me, but it felt, it seemed like it was dead serious. It was like a whole plan, bro. It was weird.
Oh, that's better than
but mine. That was like the weirdest thing. It hasn't been too many weird situations in person.
How does your girl feel about your fan club, though?
You know, she handles it like a G. Yeah, she's solid, bro. Yeah, for sure.
There's clearly a fan club.
She's solid, man. you know, she has her thing going on too, and so she definitely got a fan club of her own. So
definitely,
we can kind of laugh about, you know, when we link up. You know what I mean? But yeah, she's solid. She a soldier.
She's a girl. They always have bigger fans.
Oh yeah, always. Yeah. It don't matter how big like I get. She's gonna have a big so
yeah, it don't matter.
It's just they in the shadows. It's different.
Yeah, I think it was that one meme where they're like, if you ever don't appreciate your girl, just have her show you her DMs, like
right
one time, and you'd be like, ah, nah, I need to do whatever you was asking me to do, because apparently there are 4,000 people in your DMs.
Right, like ready to like ship her bath water out of the car and just all type of weird, crazy stuff people be saying. I'd be like, what? Man, yeah, no, that's true. I saw somebody made a Tinder profile pretending to be that girl, and it was like, I was like, yo, I was like, I ain't even got to do that. I already know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm chilling, man. I'm good.
I saw on Twitter, Dende did that the other day. Made a Tinder profile for a girl, and he was like, she's really successful on here. And, you know, it's one of those things, like, I'm like, I don't care what kind of dude you are. Like, if you make, like, an online profile, it's like, oh, yeah, I got a hit. Oh, yeah, I got a hit. And for a girl, it's like, ding, 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 ding. Like, yo,
like they won a lot of it. For sure. Yeah. I got to ask him how that went. Yeah, that's wild. I'm almost scared to do it, bro. Like,
don't, because I already, telling I already you, know don't do it. Don't do it.
I already
it.
Know what time it is.
You're just gonna hurt your feelings. You're just gonna hurt your feelings. Or do it that way. You appreciate your girl more. You'd be like, you know what? I was about to go wash your car. Like, let me go in and take let me go in and take care of your car for you. Since
like, you need a foot rub today, don't you?
Yeah. Since 20 dudes in the last 6 minutes have offered it, and they haven't even met you. Like,
right.
I'm like, oh,
no, man. Like the DM, like the drink your bath water thing. That's like a real thing. And I was like, yo, these boys are wild.
I thought I'd be getting it off in the DMs. And then I looked at some of my homegirls' DMs, and I was like, I never have said anything like that. I'd be direct.
Some stuff is like you don't even think about. You really like question their mental state, because it's like, what made you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's why women are always questioning men's mental state. Because I was like, oh, you see like us. Like, I was like, you know, I was like, nah, because I see some of they, like, some of the DMs you licking, you like, it's like that Malcolm X meme. Like, you're like, oh, that boy's starving. That boy's starving. I'm like, Doug, you sent this out the blue to somebody you don't know.
And that you've never met in your life.
At 3:31 in the morning, Doug, if I was a girl, I'd call the police. Like, Doug, look at what he wrote. I've never met this man. He lives in my city.
Facts.
So, yeah.
You know, I used to, like, try to, you know what I'm saying, shoot. I probably never shot no wild shot. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't coming from half court, but I definitely came from, like, deep three in the DMs.
Yeah. It's just deep three.
Yeah.
Because you got three. That. If you have, like, a rapport, I feel like that's a deep three. Yeah. But if you're just going to be like, be fine.
That's outside the building.
Nah, it was it wasn't even no rapport. It was deep three, like from the logo, but just I didn't cross over half court. But it was still from the logo.
All right,
that's on bold. Some Dame Lillard. Yeah, I don't know.
That's bold. I do. You know, just weak layups in the DM. I'm like, dog, I already know you, so here we go. But yeah, a wild shot from like a Steph Curry, like. I'm shooting across the thing. Like, I've never met you. I've never seen you, but I've seen your pictures. And now it's time for us to get to know each other. And you're like, wow. Wow. Okay.
There's like 900 other niggas that think the same.
Yeah. And then facts. in order to shine amongst them 900, you have to lead off with, I'll drink your bath water with a straw. Right. You look like a
spit in your butt. I was like, that nigga just said I'll spit in your butt.
You look like a serial killer, sir.
No, that's that stuff that gets you reported.
Yes.
like count for to be gone.
Serial killer. Because also, if you meet this girl in real life, are you going to keep that same energy? And I feel like 8 times out of 10, you're not. You're not. Yeah. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't. You know what? People, it would, because you wouldn't. This is the anonymity or the distance of the internet. The internet allows dudes to talk to women that if the woman, you know, some of my homegirls would be like, dog, dudes will be standing next to me at the bar all night and send me a message later on. I'm like, why didn't you just say something? Like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, that's wild. I've never understood that one. But you know what it is too? Like a lot of guys, like it seems like a lot of guys don't actually think that they could, you know what I'm saying, make that shot.
Yeah, so
like they in the DM, they just shooting like whatever, you know what I'm saying? Digital, they ain't gonna do it in the bar because they already know. Like
it is the digital equivalent of yelling at a woman from a moving car. Like you're like, hey, y'all fine. Like, all right.
I mean, we're not gonna have that conversation of really how men really are. I'll be like, I'll be sitting with niggas. I'll be like, I think 80% of men are insecure, dead ass. So I'll be like, y'all.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like y'all niggas are cool.
The news report of the guy it wasn't a news report. I'm sorry. It was like a TikTok video. It was dude laying in the hospital. I don't know if he had a lash service or something like that, but he's like, I did. Old girl's lashes, and I was like, hey, can you give us a good review online? And she's like, yeah, cool. So she's pulling out her phone, but her boyfriend is outside honking the horn. And so she's like, he goes, man, just do it later on or whatever, but just give us a good review. Thank you. And so she's like, she gets in the car and they drive off. They come back 2 minutes later. And dude gets out the car, comes in. He goes, what'd you say to my girl? And he goes, I asked her to leave a good review. And he goes, but the dude had a lot of hostility when he said it. So he goes, dog, I know you're not insecure about this. And dude pulled out a gun and shot him in the arm. Like, went in, went out. And I was like, dog, what? What? So, yeah, dog, it's wild out here. I don't even know what part of town that was in. I don't even know.
Yeah, that's a different level of...
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, I just thought niggas was whack, but you talk about niggas shooting like that. Like, this is, that's
niggas,
crazy.
Niggas is dangerous.
He took shooting the shot on a whole different level.
Yeah, yeah. Niggas is dangerous. I don't even be telling women like, "Oh, you got to shoot these niggas." I'm like, "Dog, they dangerous." I understand where y'all coming from, dog. Like, by all means, be safe. We need to start telling these niggas to calm down. Like, dog, you got to get counseling, man. Relax. You pulled a gun out. For what?
You know, it's funny too. Like, I actually like do encourage like people to get like even if they're not like that far on the deep end. But I encourage people to get counseling, like, or get therapy, or even if you can't like get that, like always have a solid core of people that you can just really, really talk to. Because like homies, like be on the deep end sometimes.
Especially black people, for black men especially. I don't think a lot of black men realize how far they go and don't talk to anybody about anything. Like, I was like, dog, you're not talking to anybody about anything. And I find, even amongst the people I know, sometimes black men don't even start talking until they have a kid. Like, then they'd be like, hey, I got to talk to you about it. I'm like, dog, you have people around you, you don't talk to them at all. And it's just like, this expectation, like, it's like, dog, guys don't talk. We don't do that. That's a weakness. I'm like, dog, you should get a counselor. Like, you pay them. Facts. You ain't got to care what they think. You just go in there, vent, and walk out. It's fantastic.
Don't buy a Gucci belt. Facts. Get a counselor, nigga.
Like, get a counselor.
Yeah.
Facts.
That Gucci belt, that Gucci only belt is not going to help for, like, 3 minutes. Like,
if that. Yeah. It's going to make you feel good when you're buying it in the store.
Yeah.
You're gonna put it on to go to the club. Nobody's gonna notice it.
Nobody's gonna notice your Gucci belt.
It's dark.
And now you're mad nobody noticed your Gucci belt, so you're feeling even more.
Now you gotta
Now you're
breaking out your shirt in, all awkward.
Now you breaking out your gun because somebody bumped into you. I was like, right. If you had to talk to a counselor, you'd have been all right. Like, just talk it out, man.
Let probably would have bought like a Calvin Klein belt.
Exactly.
Got a counselor. Exactly. Nah, but yeah, you know, count like, and just when we think about like counselors, a lot of time we think one-on-one, but like, it's just great having like good supporting cast around you and a good counsel around you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm super grateful that I have that.
Yeah.
Cause it does take a lot to just be super honest. And yeah. I think that's one thing that I've grown to do with myself. Like, it's just be like super honest with myself about like, you know what I'm saying? Like my strengths, my weaknesses, and then like being vulnerable enough to express that to like my homies, like, you know what I'm saying? Cause I think like, especially as Black men, we'll probably confide in a woman, which is nothing wrong with that too. Like we should, you know what I'm saying? If that's available to us, but like, we won't confide in our homies. So like, yeah. You know, your homies might be going through something and you really don't even realize it. Cause you know, dudes be trying to be mad macho and, you know, a lot. So I'm super grateful that, you know, I got a team, like, you know, I can really, like, talk to about, you know, that I'm going through or, you know, what I'm feeling, you know, just all type of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, we can really do that. And so, I definitely feel like, especially Black men, because it's so much stuff that we grow through, so much stuff that, like, we be thinking, you know what I'm saying, hardships that we got to deal with that, you know, we often feel like we can't talk to anybody because as a man, you know, we just got to be strong and yeah. work through it and all this. And in actuality, it's like, bro, like everybody go through stuff. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Ain't nothing wrong with, you know, talking about what it is, how you feeling and getting it out so you can actually move forward. For real.
And it takes a level of practice, too. I find in my own life, like, I realized probably about a year or two ago, and I feel like I'm pretty progressive, but I was like, dog, I only tell women and children that I'm proud of them. It took me a while to be like telling the dude like, oh, that's a good job. Like, I'm proud of you for the work you do. And I'm you're expected to be like, soft ass dude. Like, you proud of me? Like, oh, you proud of me? I'm like, no. Like, you did a good job. I was like, dog, I ain't got no problem telling a woman, like, yo, good job, dog. Like, really good. Like, I ain't got no problem telling a child, but telling another man, I was like, that. And then I was like, no, that's mad corny. You can't tell them. Like, yo, I like your work. I like the album you put out. I like the movie you created. Like, telling people that. I mean, shoot, that's also part of this podcast. We was just like, yo, we see people we're proud of. We want to highlight them in a positive way. Like, that's just pretty much it.
The niggas out here be like, oh, nigga, you a fan? I'm like, nigga, yes.
Yes,
I'm a fan of you.
It's exactly what
we are. We turn fan into a negative. Like, oh, you're a fan? Right. I absolutely am. I really like
your work. Nigga, I bought your shit. I'm wearing your shirt. Right?
I'm not a fanatic. I don't want to follow you home or anything like that. But I did come to your concert. Yes, I enjoy your work.
Right.
I pay your bills, nigga.
I bought a t-shirt. I did. Like.
I pay your bills, nigga.
And honestly, I hope that Houston gets more of that feeling too, where it's like, yo, Houston, you got to support, you know, you got to support the people you like. Like, that's about it. And be done with
it. No effects.
Don't wait for everybody else.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, bro. You know, I think that Houston has gotten better at it in ways. I think we have a long ways to go for sure. I think that a large part of when it comes to that in Houston is just a matter of actually having avenues where you can express that. And like, it's an open avenue to express that, right? So when I go to like different places, like when I'm in Atlanta or in LA or wherever, it's just, they'll have these avenues in which people can express that and they aren't like looked at like they're crazy for it. You know what I'm saying? You know, like LA has, LA has like the basement in LA, which is a really dope concept. And so you know, they have these things like, you know, artists that are on the rise or going there performing, and they're getting looks from like these, you know, prominent people in the entertainment industry. But like, it's also like other artists, you know, from out there, and they, you know, are able to show love and just express how they like it. Other people as well that aren't artists that just, you know, want to hear some good music that like isn't maybe what's like, you know, exposed to the world yet. They want to hear it while it's on the rise. You know, they can go there and be like, oh man, I love this. And there's things out in Atlanta set up in similar fashions. And so I think a lot of it has to do with like infrastructure out here, you know what I'm saying? In order to like just provide an open space to where people can do that on a bigger level than what it is. Cause don't get me wrong, there are these underground scenes, but hasn't quite been the channels for making, like turning it from underground to like something that's more bubbling to something that's like mainstream. And like, it's all built in the city and then expanding out versus starting the city and then went over here and expanded and came back. And
Travis Scott and Beyonce method, not knocking them. They're great.
With the Travis Scott, absolutely. But yeah, you know, those were the routes that they took. You know what I'm saying? Travis and Yance and, you know, guys like Don and, you know, so Eric Bellinger, there's like so many that kind of like felt like that was the better route for them, and it worked for them. So it's like perfect. But, you know, there are plenty of people that want to really cultivate their craft where they are and really want to like do it in the city and make the city do what it was, you know, in a way kind of in the similar fashion that, you know, the a lot of the great Houston artists from like yesteryear, I don't want to say it like in a negative connotation,
we know what you're saying.
Past like Houston artists like have like
early thousands.
Yeah, the early thousands, the even, you know, the 90s and late 80s, like, you know, those artists, they were able to stay in the city and create a wave that happened nationwide. And so, you know, I believe that it can happen. I just think that it's going to take plenty of fortitude when it comes to really putting those pieces together, but I think it could be done fairly easily.
That's true, because it's moving that direction anyway. I mean, we have Meg, Young Deji,
Erica Banks.
Thank you, Erica Banks. You say thank you. That's exactly how
Toby.
Toby. We got Toby here, bro.
Mona Leo.
B King. I'm gonna say B King again.
B King. DJ Chose.
Oh Maxo my Green.
That's
Maxo the other kind of went to like LA, but but still, yeah.
Well, everybody went to LA.
Right.
But I still, you know, they still rep it. They still rep,
right.
Still
rep it. Absolutely.
But that's what matters. I mean, but one good thing that you were talking about, it takes that push. It takes that infrastructure. Me and my brother are part of the being built infrastructure. We want everybody to, you know this is, hey, this is a spot you can come to. You know, all you, I mean, a part of being in that infrastructure, like me personally, I push a lot of like Houston things and whatnot. And people will be like, why? And I go, because I like it. And then I'll be like, because I want my city to win, and you have to be biased. You have to. Like, let's be honest about the situation. You gotta be biased. I've read better writers than my brother, but that's my fucking brother. You know what I'm saying?
You haven't had a better writer than your brother.
You haven't had a better writer than me. You haven't seen a better writer than me at all.
Exactly.
That's it.
I love it. And that's what we got going on here, man. It's been a great episode with you. Thank you very much for coming out or staying in, because we're on Zoom lately, B-Val. Thanks a lot. This has been another great episode. This has been my brother, Jess Devon, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest writer that I know. My name, once again, is Avery Like a Very Nice Guy, or whatever I'm called this week. I don't know. But this has been another episode of In My Humble Opinion. And if you want to be a part of the Humble Hive, you got to like, share, and subscribe. You can find us on everything, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, all under My Humble O. In My Humble Opinion, ladies and gentlemen, humbly yours. H-Town's too sweet. H-Town's too sweet.
Viva. Thank y'all.
That's what's up.